Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, your gracious host. As I said, thank you for joining me this week. This week's show is going to be all news headlines. We have had a lot of listener interaction this week, and I want to take full advantage of that because I've had a number of listeners contact me and say, hey, Tom, what do you think about this story? You think you could play this or put this story on your show this week? I will agree with you. Anything you want me to put on here, I'm going to put on here. So to all my listeners, Brandon, Sean, Harvey, thank you so much. And there were a couple more. I'll get to them in a little bit. But thank you so much for doing your part to make this show even better, because this show is exactly what I want it to be. It's what you want to hear, what you are interested in. You want to hear my take. You want to hear other people's takes on it. This is what this show is going to be. So before I start the show this week, though, I want to, I should apologize. Last week's show, I made a comment that apparently ruffled some feathers, and I didn't mean for it to, but, you know, in this day and age, I guess I've got to apologize for it. So last week, I mentioned that the South is not over the Civil War. The South, I know a lot of people that have gone down South and moved down South and came back North because they felt unwelcomed. They felt that they were not wanted there, that they were called Yankees, that the South is just not over the Civil War. Now, it was not my intention, but there is a gentleman out there that sent me an email and said, you know, how far South have you been? And I've been to Florida, but that's about it. You know, I go through Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida. Don't veer off I-75 at all. So when I said the South is not over the Civil War, you know, I guess I was a little bit overbearing on that, because he says, look, I live in Missouri, and we are definitely over the Civil War. We don't care anymore. And you know what? I understand that most people are done with it. You know, in the North here, we do have people that are racist. And down in the South, they have people who are still not over the Civil War. That doesn't mean everybody, and I apologize I didn't specify that and clarify that, so that is my mistake. Thank you. Thank you for calling me out on that, though. I need to be called out on things like that. I don't mean to sound that way, and sometimes just in me talking, I get rolling and I don't clarify myself, and this is an exact situation where I should have clarified myself. Not the whole South is still hung up on the Civil War. There is a select few people. And just like in the North, there are a select few racists. Most people in the South are over the Civil War. Most people in the North are not racist. So I do apologize for that if it did offend anybody. So moving on with the show. The show this week is going to be just bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. I've got news stories left and right. There's not going to be one set topic. I'm going to find a topic, I'm going to go over it with you, and then move on to the next one. So to begin the show this week, we're going to start here in my home state of Michigan, but this can be said for California, Texas, Florida, Arizona. We have been put on lockdown again. We are grounded again here. Now, not as severe. I do hear my sources telling me after the 4th of July weekend, Gretchen Whitmer, our illustrious governor, is going to be putting us on lockdown again. Just so, you know, she can enjoy her 4th of July weekend, which is fine because on 4th of July, Saturday, and happy 4th of July, everybody. We'll talk about this near the end of the show. But this 4th of July, we are having a ton of people over to my house for the simple fact that, A, in the county I live in here in Shiawassee County, Michigan, we have zero cases of coronavirus. And this is our last hurrah before we get locked down again. This is planned. States across the country are seeing a rise in cases of coronavirus. And why do you think? There's a couple reasons why. Yes, it is because people are going out to bars, to restaurants. There is a little bit of that. We knew that was going to happen. That's not a surprise. But we also have the case of we are testing a lot more people. The fact that the number of coronavirus cases is increasing dramatically in some of these states, you got to look at it with it's a double-edged sword. Okay, yes, there are a lot of positive cases out there. How many of them are asymptomatic that they didn't even know that they were sick? The other thing is, you're not seeing the number of deaths that we saw before. So what does that tell you? The number of coronavirus cases are rising, but the amount of deaths are not rising in proportionate with it. So this is, again, not nearly as deadly as the media or the left want us to think it is. On the contrary, the number of cases are rising, yes, and that is due to the fact that there is more testing being done. It is due to the fact that people are now going out and about. But what you're not hearing is the protests. Now, this virus is really starting to scare me because it apparently knows the difference between somebody going out to eat and going to the bar and somebody that's protesting. Because apparently, according to the media and the Democrats, you cannot contract or spread coronavirus while protesting. You can only do it if you're not wearing a mask while you're eating dinner or at a bar. That's the only way. So in our state, all bars and restaurants have been closed for inside dining. Now, one of my most reliable sources got a hold of me this week and said, "Hey, Tom, just to let you know, we here in the state of Michigan, we are going to begin our lockdown procedures again after the 4th of July. This source of mine knows a good friend of his that works in the Governor Whitmer chain of command. And everything that he has been told, he has relayed to me, and it's been dead on accurate. He told me when it was going to happen. He told me when the restrictions were going to be lifted, what was going to be restricted, and he's been dead on every time. So I have no reason to think that after July 4th, you know, after Governor Whitmer spends time up at her cottage up north and spends holiday weekend with everybody, I have no reason to believe that we're not going to be in the process of locking down again. I don't know. He didn't expound on me how in-depth this lockdown would be, but we're going to be locked down. And she started the first phase of it right before the 4th of July weekend. So for those of my listeners in Michigan, be prepared. Now, this past week, the jobs report for June came out, and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC started it off by saying, "Oh, be prepared for a horrific job report. It's going to be ugly." Well, the quote-unquote experts predicted maybe 3 million jobs added because of all the people going back to work now that these restrictions are being lifted in some states. Well, they said 3 million jobs. The numbers came out, and the number of jobs created in June, which was supposed to be 3 million, according to the quote-unquote experts, was actually 4.8 million. 1.8 million more jobs. So the liberal media is trying to spin this, saying, well, that's not really an accurate count. They don't know how to spin this. So I'm just going to tell you right now, watch for something else to come out. Something else is going to come out, and I think you're going to see more of a lockdown. You're going to see the numbers of coronavirus skyrocket all of a sudden. all of a sudden, magically, all these numbers of coronavirus are going to skyrocket due to the fact that Trump just created the greatest economy the planet has ever seen, and the Democrats, coronavirus, and the liberal media destroyed that economy. Trump is now creating another great economy, and the Democrats don't know how to spin this. Because, trust me, come November, if this economy rebounds, Biden doesn't have a chance. And let's talk real quick. I'm going to jump off subject real quick, but let's talk about that. How many times have you heard, how many times have you read, Biden has a double-digit lead in the national polling for president? In Michigan, Biden's leading. In Ohio, Biden's leading. In Wisconsin, Biden's leading. In Pennsylvania, Florida, Biden's leading. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar? Because in 2016, the day of the election, we were told Hillary Clinton has a 95% chance of securing the presidency. They had already inaugurated the first woman president. And as the results were coming in during the day, which they weren't releasing, but they were releasing them in a way, it was clear that Hillary Clinton was going to be president. And then all of a sudden, all these late votes started coming in. And you can go into it and say, well, all the working people that got off of work voted for Trump. It doesn't matter. What I'm telling you is don't believe the polls. I read story after story after story that Trump's numbers are so low that the GOP and himself are thinking about having him drop out of the race to give somebody else a chance. Do you honestly think that Donald Trump is going to drop out of this race? To me, what that tells me is that these polling numbers are nowhere even close to being accurate. And they are resorting to saying Donald Trump's numbers are so bad, he's got to drop out, in hopes that people will say, oh, well, there's no point in me voting. They tried that in 16. They're going to try it again. But the difference is people are now smart enough to realize that these polls don't mean anything. I haven't been contacted. Nobody's contacted me about any poll. Here in Michigan, our illustrious dictator, all the polls are showing that she has a 65% approval rate. Okay, first off, I don't know who they're polling. It's got to be the city of Detroit. Because even in the Democratic stronghold of the Perry, Michigan, Shiawassee County area of Michigan, nobody likes her. So you can manipulate these polls all you want. And it's very easy to do. You can poll 50% Democrat and 50% Republican registered voters. But it's all how you ask the question. And you can manipulate the way it's answered to make it look like Donald Trump is down 13 points nationally. Donald Trump is down so much, he's so distraught over this, he's going to drop out of the race. Never going to happen. So that tells me that the Democrats are getting desperate. The media knows something that they aren't telling us, that these polls are completely wrong, because there would be no reason whatsoever to have a story about Donald Trump dropping out of the race. So ridiculous and ludicrous that even liberals that have read this story are like, come on, Donald Trump is such an egomaniac. He is not going to drop out of the race. Something is going on. So don't be surprised if you see another October surprise, another coronavirus come out where they have to lock us down to destroy the economy. And, oh, well, let's talk about another pandemic. The illustrious America's doctor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who I'll admit, I was enamored by this guy when at first as the coronavirus task force press conferences were out there. The more I learn about this guy's a weasel, okay? Dr. Anthony Fauci on Tuesday this past week warned that the U.S. needs to keep attention on a new strain of swine flu emerging from China that has the potential to become a pandemic. So here's where it gets good, because they're talking to him about the possibility of this becoming a pandemic. But what the media isn't telling you is that Fauci said the virus has not yet been shown to be infecting humans. So we have Dr. Fauci going in front of the Senate and telling them we have the possibility of another pandemic, another H1N1. Well, first off, here's the problems with that. First off, it's not even transmittable to humans at this time. So why, what is going on? Why do they think we need to keep an eye on this? Because everything I've been taught and everything I've learned while studying this coronavirus is it takes a very, very, very long time for a disease, a virus, to mutate to be able to be transmittable from, let's say, swine to humans. And it is apparently not at that point. So why are we talking about this now? But more importantly, in 2009, everybody remembers the talk about H1N1. How many people were affected by it, honestly? Because nobody I know, and I'm sure everybody, almost everybody listening can say the same thing. Nobody I know was affected by H1N1. But here's the problem. It has been set up this way now. The precedent has been set that whenever there is a virus, a new virus out that's very contagious, and I want to make this point very clear. If that virus is out when there's a Republican, if we find a new virus that's contagious and a Republican is in office, that gives the precedent for lockdowns, destruction of the economy, and millions upon millions and millions of people's lives completely destroyed. Because the Democrats will make sure that happens. But if we find a new virus that is very contagious and a Democrat is in office, happened in 2009, Barack Obama was in office, did we have lockdowns? What did we do? Anything different? No. There was nothing different. Nobody I know was wearing masks. School was the same as it ever was. There is a huge difference. Now, I need you to look, realize, and I need you to just understand this clearly, what I'm trying to think, and stop thinking that everything that is being quoted to you and told to you about the coronavirus is due to quote-unquote science. Again, I feel I need to preface this by saying, yes, there is a virus out there. I'm not denying that fact. Yes, it is very contagious. I'm not denying that fact. But the flu is very contagious. This is my point. Listen to me. They closed hundreds and thousands and millions of businesses. They closed your church. They closed your church. You could not go to church. You could not take your children to the park. You could not go to the beach. If you have a loved one die, if it was in March or April, they died of coronavirus. So if you had a loved one die in March or April of coronavirus, you could not go to their funeral. My daughter graduated this year. There was no graduation. The media and the Democrats are sensationalizing wearing a mask. It doesn't matter what type of mask. It doesn't matter if that mask does nothing for you. You're being reprimanded and looked down upon if you do not wear a mask. If in March, April, May, or June, you were expectant parents and you gave birth in those months, fathers were not allowed in the delivery room. And let's talk about masks real quick, because this is a very, very sore subject with me, because I am looked down upon when I go to the store. I am looked down upon at work because I refuse to wear a mask. I wore a mask. My wife this past week had surgery, and I was at the hospital for over 12 hours. And I had to wear a mask that whole time, and it was the most uncomfortable thing I have gone through in a long, long time. It was ridiculous. I was getting lightheaded. I was getting claustrophobic. I don't like masks. But the wife and I were at the store. I was pushing her around. She's still kind of sore, so I was pushing her around in her wheelchair. And we witnessed two friends come together. And the one said, "Hey, Sue, how you doing?" And the other one, who was not wearing a mask, the other one was, said, "Hey, Karen, what's up?" Now, the woman who was wearing a mask asked, "Where is your mask?" Scolded her for not wearing a mask. And the lady, who was with her family, which was her husband and her two kids, looked at her and said, "We don't feel we need to wear a mask." And this lady scolded her. I mean, reprimanded her in front of everyone. "You need to be wearing a mask. You're putting these kids in danger." Now, keep in mind, I want you to picture this woman in your head. You've heard the whole Karen thing. This is a Karen. It had the haircut. It was about the 40 to 45-year-old woman who thinks she knows everything. This is the epitome of Karen. She is wearing a homemade mask below her nose and scolding this woman out. And as she's scolding this woman out, she's pulling the mask down away from her mouth. Now, first off, That is ridiculous. You're an idiot. Secondly, and people ask me why I don't wear a mask and why I don't believe this whole coronavirus thing, and this is the reason why right here. If you are going to mandate mask use to protect you and protect everyone around you, if there was really a threat, you would mandate that every mask being worn is an N95 or greater medical grade mask. I have seen people with homemade, I literally watched somebody walk around with a crocheted mask. Not joking. I literally face palmed myself and said, oh my God, right in front of this person. And she looked at me like, what? Like I was wrong for not wearing a mask. I have seen people wearing these spandex face covering masks that, you know, change the look of your face. They're not doing anything. I've seen people making homemade cotton cloth masks. They're not doing anything. I've seen our illustrious governor who decided to protest with BLM. This is shortly after she chastised the protesters around the Capitol and threatened to extend the lockdown because of them. She decided to protest with BLM, not social distancing, literally arm to arm. And what was she wearing? A bandana. She wore a bandana just like a cowboy. It was wrapped around the bridge of her nose and came down, wasn't protecting. That is why I think this is the biggest crock of crap in the history of mankind, because you can look at people and you can tell who will do anything the government tells them to do. If the government tells you, pull out a gun and shoot yourself in the head because the coronavirus is coming, you will have a number of people pulling out a gun and shooting themselves in the head. It's just, these people are so brainwashed that they will do anything that the government tells them to do, even when it makes absolutely no sense. Now, if we have a governor that comes out and said, listen, you who are wearing these homemade masks, you who are wearing these spandex masks or bandanas, they are not protecting you. So if you want to be in a public setting, you need to wear an N95 or greater medical grade mask. I have not seen one governor, one elected official say that, because this is a joke. I said it before. If you are that worried about contracting the coronavirus, stay home. Let everyone else who has an immune system go out and live their life. If I'm at the store and you are looking down on me, and I had a lady at, I think I mentioned this, at Home Depot come up to me, don't you think you should be wearing a mask? And I couldn't understand what she was saying because she was wearing a mask. I'm like, I'm sorry, excuse me? Don't you think you should be wearing a mask? I looked her dead in the eye and said, ma'am, I stopped playing make-believe when I was a kid and walked away because I had to go to the bathroom. But it has been proven that this is a brainwash. People are brainwashed into thinking that putting a bandana around or wearing underwear or a tampon on their face will protect them against this virus. And it's been so politicized that if you don't, oh, you don't care about your fellow man. Well, listen, if I'm not wearing a mask and you're wearing a mask, then what are you worried about? It's just like vaccines. If your kid is vaccinated against measles, my kid is not vaccinated against measles, what are you worried about? You can't catch measles, right? Your kid is not going to contract measles because your kid's been vaccinated. So why does my kid have to be vaccinated? It makes no sense when you really think about it. But too many people don't want to think. They just want to follow exactly what the elected officials, the government people, tell them to do. But back to this whole, we have to do this because this is science. You know, they closed the business, closed your church, parks, beaches. You couldn't have funerals, graduations. They made you wear masks. You couldn't go into the delivery rooms. But this is where I have an issue. And again, this is another reason why I say this is the biggest crock of crap in the history of mankind. All that stuff they banned. You can't do that. You can't socially gather in large groups. But the Democrats will allow riots. You can vandalize. You can perform arson. You can loot. All in the name of Black Lives Matter. Because, like I said in the beginning of the show, the reason this virus scares me so much is it knows the difference between a looter, a rioter, and a rebel rouser, and an Antifa member, as opposed to somebody going to the restaurant with their wife or their girlfriend. It is that smart. So if you don't want to catch this, but you want to associate with people, apparently you have to start rioting and creating violence, because apparently that makes you immune to the coronavirus. But in all honesty, this is the playbook for modern psychological warfare. You start with scaring the people with a virus. You place them into quarantine. You count the number of dead every second of every day in every news headline. You scare them with the number of positive cases. You don't talk about the negative cases. You don't talk about how many people have survived this. You don't talk about the fact that this is nowhere near as contagious as the flu and nowhere near as deadly as the flu. You close all businesses. You put 40 million people out of jobs. You remove entertainment, parks, gyms, bars, restaurants, sports, no dating, no touching. You make people wear masks. You dehumanize them because that's essentially what you're doing. Again, you close all churches, all places of worship. You essentially create a vacuum. And in that vacuum, we've all heard this, and Michigan was voted and found to be the most depressed and anxious state during this whole pandemic. You create a vacuum, and then you let depression and anxiety and desperation set in. And then you ignite hatred in a civil war, and you create civil unrest. You empty the prisons because of the virus and fill the streets with criminals. You send in Antifa to vandalize property as if they were freedom fighters. They undermine the law, they loot, they attack law enforcement, but you tell the government, you tell the police, stand down. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all being baited. We are being baited by people who want to destroy America. This is how the far left has abused the racial divisions in this country to create a racial war. They are fanning the flames. And oh, by the way, it's in an election year that they would have any other time no chance of winning. We have the Democrats to blame on it. This is all Democrats. Nobody can see it, though. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. The listeners of this show do, but a lot of people can't see it. A lot of people can't see the fact that the majority of the problems in this country are caused by the Democrats. And you can put the media right in there because they're all Democrats. You can put Hollywood in that. You can put the entertainment business in that. The thing is, if the entertainment industry would realize that it is capitalism that made them the multi-millionaires that they are, they're biting the hand that feeds them. They're too stupid to realize that because they are so out of touch. We are being baited into a race war in this country. Make no mistake about it. There, I was sent a Facebook post that really scared the living daylights out of me. And the top of it was from a young lady named Heather Ryan, and it says, "I'll take reasons to own firearms for $500, Alex." And it went to a post from Adam, I can't even pronounce his last name. It said, "If I had the power to do so, I would have gallows built in rows at the White House in Washington, D.C., for example, as many as traffic allows. Then, white people will be hung indiscriminately and they will remain hanging until they stink. They will hang there as long as the principles of hygiene permit. Now, as soon as they have been untied, the next batch will be strung up, and so on down the line until the last white person in our nation's capital has been exterminated. Other cities will follow suit precisely in this fashion, and until all of America has been completely cleansed of whiteness." This post here, which is basically calling on the mass extermination of the white race in America, was deemed not offensive by Facebook. We didn't take down Adam Butch's, I think his name is, comment. It didn't violate the community standards on Facebook. That should tell you everything you need to know about Facebook and their quote-unquote community standards, but this is ludicrous. This is madness, how this type of talk, the mass extermination of the white race in America, is now okay. It's getting bad out there. It's a scary time to be a white person in America, just like it's a scary time to be a police officer in America. The media and the Democrats have taken control of a vast amount of people and turned them into hateful, vile, vicious killers of white people and police officers. And the media is just, okay, we're good with that. Facebook, Twitter, we're good with that. The Hollywood industry or entertainment industry elites, we're good with that. It's infuriating. So we're going to take a quick break when we come back, I've got a listener of mine that has his own thoughts. Remember a couple episodes back, the Texas screaming episode during the thunderstorm? He wanted to tell me what he thought it was. And then he asked me, are they going to have to change the name of this? And I'm going to answer that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Washtenaw County, Michigan, and their ridiculous proposal. We're going to talk about Taylor Swift and her idiotness. And let's see, what else? Oh, Washington Redskins, and so much more. There is so much more to be talked about on this episode of the Paranormal Patriots. So I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to open that mind, because there's more to come that you really, truly need to hear. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
My skin bends to the touch of your fingertips. A heart stain with the mark of your fingerprints. Thoughts move with your thoughts in unison. Ever since you appear, nothing's been the same.
Do you like the supernatural? Do you like the paranormal? Do you like true crime? If you said yes to any of those, you owe it to yourself to listen to Vanishing Gates. Vanishing Gates is hosted by Jay Miles. You may remember that name. Jay Miles and I talked on an episode of The Paranormal Patriot, and it was one of the most well-received episodes that this show has ever had, because everybody walked out learning something. Listen to Jay Miles' show, Vanishing Gates, and you will learn something every week. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Vanishing Gates. If you're into the supernatural, the paranormal, or true crime, you owe it to yourself to listen to Vanishing Gates. And as always, Vanishing Gates is Paranormal Patriot approved.
Ways to exist, philadelphic for a minute, then my mind starts to drift. Dream shift, understanding expands, products of an ego, morph by circumstance, a chance to escape everyday banality, brutality.
All right, I don't even know where to begin this next segment. We'll start in Washtenaw County, Michigan, and I'm going to tell you, these politicians are trying to become so woke, trying to be part of the solution when there's really not a problem. Honestly, this is something just like everything else. It's going to pass in businesses and politicians and in sports teams and sports athletes and entertainment industry leaders are going to be looking back and going, that was pretty stupid what we did. And we'll talk about that. But let's start with Washtenaw County, Michigan. Washtenaw County's Board of Health has declared racism a public health crisis. And apparently this is joining governing bodies across Michigan in the symbolic. And that is that's the key word, symbolic. Because you really can't do anything about it. You can't cure racism. So this is a symbolic statement in the effort to create health equity. Whatever the hell that means. The board passed the resolution Tuesday, June 30th, and called for the county health department to work with other departments and community partners to address the social determinants of health, such as housing, employment, public safety, food access, air and water quality, and health care. The resolution also calls for an annual review of the progress towards these goals and practices for the impact on racial equality, according to the resolution. Now, officials noted that Washtenaw County ranks 80th out of 83 Michigan counties for income inequality in the 2020 ranking, and there is a 10-year difference in life expectancy between black and white residents and a 17-year difference between Latino and white residents. The COVID-19 pandemic has disproportionately affected black residents in Washtenaw County. I hear that statement, and I hear black people tell me, well, why do black people get it more than white people? Obviously, that's racist. And I just look at them incredulously and say, are you serious? Because what is it in white people that stops them from getting coronavirus, that black people? Could it be that there is income inequality? And listen, I'm not stupid. I get the fact that there are some people out there that will not hire black people. But I'm also going to be dead set honest with you. There are a lot of people out there, black people, Latino people, white people, that don't want to work. I know a ton of white people that do not want to work. and they are content on living off the government dime. Why do you think the black population votes predominantly Democrat? Because they are on the government dime. I know so many successful black people. And you want to know what they all had in common? They worked hard. They stayed out of trouble. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I know a lot of white people that are struggling to make ends meet. And you want to know what they all have in common? They're lazy and they want to live off the government. It's as simple as that. How you choose to live your life. If you want to work hard, you will be successful. That is the American way. You can argue that till the cows come home, but I'm telling you right now, you will not find a more opportune place. You will not find a more successful place to be black on this planet other than America. It's a fact. You go to Africa. You are not going to have that nice car. You are not going to have a house. You are not going to have food to feed your family. It's as simple as that. That's why you don't see these black people leaving the country. Because they know, if I go back to the motherland, I'm not going to have it as good. But yet they're going to complain, they're going to bitch, and they're going to protest against the inequalities. And I'm not telling you there's not. But I'm telling you it's being blown way out of proportion. Because the majority of black people in this country are not, they're not profiled. They're not. The reason that the black population struggles so much is because it's a lack of parental guidance at home. Now, I've heard upwards of 70% of African-American households do not have a father figure in there. Listen, I grew up with both parents. My kids have grown up with both parents, and they turned out all right. A lot of these kids that do not have both parents, kids need a father figure in their life. And I'm not saying mothers can't do that. There are a lot of mothers, single mothers out there that are doing a phenomenal job. There's a lot of single fathers out there that are doing a phenomenal job. But when you have 70% of your African-American population without a father figure, without the other parent, you're going to have problems. You don't have that parental structure. And until we fix that problem, there will be an inequality. Nobody's addressing that. Nobody's addressing the fact that the Democrats have made this lifestyle of government dependence a lifestyle for generation, a generational lifestyle, where there's no incentive to do better. Nobody's addressing that. Everybody wants to look at it as it's a white privilege problem. Well, it's not a white privilege problem. It's a Democrat Party, left, radical, call it what you want, socialist, communist policy that is keeping the minorities down. And listen, I understand that the white population in this country is going to be the minority pretty soon. The number of illegal immigrants coming into this country and having children is growing exponentially, and it will overtake the white population very soon. So the white population is going to be a minority pretty soon. Nobody right now is talking about how at this moment the white population, the Caucasian population, is being profiled and there's reverse racism against it. Everything is Black Lives Matter. Everything. The National Football League, week one, is going to play before every game the Black Anthem. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Now, that is where we've gone. It has been the National Football League. They are in a world of hurt to begin with because of the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. So they were losing fans. The stadiums were half full because players were kneeling. And now they're going to play the Black Anthem. Way to go. Whoever is running the PR for the NFL needs to be fired on the spot. If you want to kill a league, kill attendance and kill revenue, continue this. But you can have your Black Anthem. That's fine. But I'm telling you, week two, before every football game, there better be a white anthem. And that white anthem, I better hear this music playing at every football stadium before every game. If that song doesn't rile up the home team, I don't know what will. But I joke, but honestly, it has got to that point where we have to have a black anthem before every game. So the NFL, which was so against players kneeling and took so much flack for it, and players would kneel and it lost fans, is now done a complete 180 because that's the woke thing to do. They're going to alienate half of their fans, and I am going to enjoy watching this league just fall on its face. Let's talk more about the NFL. The Washington Redskins, almost 90 years with the name Washington Redskins. Now it is offensive. FedEx. FedEx is a sponsorship of their stadium. It's FedEx Stadium. They have gone to the Washington Redskins and said, we really think you should change your name. And now the Washington Redskins are going to cave because if you don't, the media are going to absolutely trash you. It was fine for 90 years. Half of these people that are saying this is a derogatory name were wearing Washington Redskin uniforms. But now, because we're in the cancel culture, it's inappropriate. It's derogatory. Alyssa Milano, the crazy-ass left-wing former actress, went on her Twitter page and said, this derogatory name has to be done with. It has to stop. She is calling for the resolution or the dissolution of the Washington Redskins' name. She stated on Twitter that this is a subject that's very close to my heart. We need to remove the name Redskins because it's very derogatory. Well, it is now, but when she was trying to make a buck, she lent her name to Touch by Alyssa Milano and promoted and sold Washington Redskins shirts. So it's okay when you're trying to make a buck, but when you're trying to be woke and you're trying to be relevant, well, then things need to change. Ladies and gentlemen, this is America today. If you are not woke, if you do not find everything offensive, you're not in the know. You're racist. So the Cleveland Indians, the Chicago Blackhawks, who else? Name a team. I'm sure the Toronto Blue Jays, somebody finds Blue Jays offensive, and the Toronto Blue Jays are going to have to change their name, but I know the Blackhawks are changing their name. Arizona Cardinals might as well change their name. Las Vegas Knights, well, Knights were very violent. They should probably change their name. Red Wings weren't even a thing, so that should go bye-bye. Detroit Lions, Tigers, well, they're pretty aggressive animals. We probably should change their names. When's it going to stop? Yeah, I joke, but I don't joke, because this is where we are in America. We cannot have anything that one person would find offensive. For no reason should you find it offensive, but if that one person finds it offensive, then the whole thing gets shut down. Taylor Swift, Tay-Tay, I like her music. I really do. She's very talented. She's crazy as shit, but she's talented. She is calling for the removal of the Statue of Liberty. I knew this was coming. I didn't think she would. I thought it would be someone like Alyssa Milano or Nancy Pelosi, or Cher or Jane Fonda or what's his name, Rob Reiner or Robert De Niro, whoever. But it came from Taylor Swift. Love your music, Tay-Tay, but you're crazy as shit. Not only are you crazy in the head with men, but if you really think the Statue of Liberty is offensive, then I'm asking you right now, I will pay for your ticket to leave this freaking country and not come back. If you think the Statue of Liberty, which was given to us by the French as a gift, saying you are free, your country is amazing, here's a gift from us, that has nothing to do with slavery. She's a white woman. She's wearing a robe. She's holding fire. That's offensive. I don't get it. And I told you a couple weeks ago, the attacks on Mount Rushmore are gonna come hot and heavy. They are coming hot and heavy, and they're starting to come hot and heavy. Donald Trump, over the 4th of July weekend, that depending on when you're listening to the show, just happened or happened a week ago, he is going to Mount Rushmore to watch a fireworks display, and there are people out there that are going to protest the living daylights out of him because George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt, all those guys on there are racist. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham Lincoln, the statues of Abraham Lincoln are being determined as racist. This should tell you everything you need to know, that nobody in the BLM, the Antifa movement, knows what the hell they're talking about. Because if you want to call Abraham Lincoln racist, that's the guy was killed to free the slaves. He wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. He freed the slaves. And they're tearing down statues. They want to remove his face from Mount Rushmore because he's a racist. This man, this Republican, yes, he was a Whig, but the Whig was, as I said before, the Whigs were the predecessor of the Republican Party. This man did everything he could. He basically rolled the dice on his political career to say, we're freeing the black man. In Black Lives Matter, Antifa, these woke idiots, this generation is just, again, I'll say it every show until somebody gets it through the head. This is the result of everybody gets a trophy. I've said it for years. Wait until this generation grows up. Wait until the generation where everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't matter if you won every game or you lost every game. You get the same damn trophy. Wait till that happens. You don't keep scoring the games because you don't want to, make the losing team feel bad. Wait till that generation grows up. That generation has grown up and you're witnessing them right now. And it's scary. This is what is coming up in our country. And it's damn scary. When you look at the Statue of Liberty, when you look at George Washington, listen, I'm recording this on July 3rd. My daughter woke me up at 5:30 this morning because Hamilton, the play, was being streamed on Disney or Disney Plus. And she wanted to watch it with me because we went to the Wharton Center in Lansing, Michigan and watched Hamilton. We both love Hamilton. So my wife, my son, and I, we watched Hamilton. And I'm looking at this going, this is amazing. You know, it touches on what these people went through. It's a story about Alexander Hamilton. I understand that. But George Washington, the father of our country, and you want to call him a racist. He was against slavery. He fought against slavery. And you want to tear his statue down. It has to be a precursor to tearing a statue down. You have to know who it is and what that person did. Because I guarantee you, if there's a statue of Mickey Mouse, somebody's going to want to tear it down because Mickey Mouse is black and white and nobody knows what the hell it is. Nobody knows what color it is. Let's tear it down. It's that attitude we have right now in this country, and it is scary. Now, with that being said, I had a listener of the show this past week by the name of Brandon. Brandon Pickworth, thank you for mentioning me. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you so much for sending all this info. But he had a question for me. So he wanted to ask me, oh, and we got a long list here. Hold on. Okay. He said, what do we do with Big Boy? Do we have to change the name of Big Boy? And I'll be honest with you, Brandon. At this point, somebody finds Big Boy offensive because he's fat, he's white, and possibly Italian. I don't know. What nationality is Big Boy? Anybody know? But regardless, somebody is going to find Big Boy offensive because he might be fat, he's white, so that's definitely offensive. And that's the culture. I call it a cancel culture where we have to cancel out everything. Anything that offends us, we have to cancel out. That includes our history. And then he goes on and says, hey, if I were the Michelin Man or the Pillsbury Doughboy or the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters, I'd be a little concerned right now because they're white. In anything white now, I guarantee you, it would not surprise me if these vehicle manufacturers stop making white cars. We're not painting them white anymore because that's a privileged color. It's getting to that point. You think I'm joking, but it's getting to that point. So Brandon hit the nail on the head. What do we do with Big Boy? What do we do with the Pillsbury Doughboy, the Michelin Man, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? It is to the point where if you are a Caucasian or white, doesn't matter what you are. You could be a birch tree. You could be a car. You could be a baseball bat. You could be, who knows? If you're white, you run the risk of being just eliminated. That's where we are in America. And the problem is these companies are so woke. L'Oreal is not using the name Fair. They're not releasing any more Fair. fair makeup. That's a light-skinned makeup. They're not going to release it anymore. So if you're a white person, guess what? L'Oreal has just eliminated you from their lineup. And this is the problem. These companies are willing to risk millions and millions and millions of dollars just to appear woke. And they don't understand that this is going to pass. This whole Black Lives Matter and only Black Lives Matter phase is going to end. And when it does, these companies are going to look back and say, what in the hell were we thinking? We completely decimated a section of our business. Because listen, when these people that use L'Oreal find out that they stopped producing makeup for essentially white people, these white people are not going to come back. They're going to say, well, sorry, you didn't think that highly of me before. I'm not going back to you. And this is what these companies are doing. There's a couple companies out there that are saying, listen, no, black lives do matter, but all lives matter. And what's happening? They're being absolutely raked over the coals by the media. And these companies are going to lose money for a short term. But again, this is going to pass. There are things happening in this country, and I want to talk about it next week because I got into contact with a guy named Nick Hilton. And I want you to Google Nick Hilton during this week because he has a theory that is really out there, but it's really interesting. It's on the paranormal supernatural side, but it would make a ton of sense. It would explain why this world is absolutely crumbling. We may have shifted dimensions. You need to be ready for next week's show. With that being said, hey, Sean, I wanted to get your parts in here. I'll do it next weekend at the first part of the show. Sean Ryan has sent me so much info, I can't fit it in on this show. I wanted to get Brandon's in there because Brandon has been a loyal listener for as long as I remember. So thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Harvey. Thank you, Sean. Everybody that sent me messages this week, thank you so much. Keep them coming. And again, if you have anything you want to promote, if you have a podcast, an event coming up, if you can have an event anymore, who knows at this point. If you have a book, an album, if you have anything you want to promote, I will promote it for free. All I ask of you is to send me an audio file. It has to be 30 seconds or more, 30 seconds or less. 30 seconds or less audio file. And just like Jim and Mike Talk Podcast, I'll put it in my show and it's free. I'm hoping Jim and Mike are getting some numbers. According to Jay Miles at Vanishing Gates, it looks like his numbers are going up, and he attributed some of that to the fact that every show I promote his podcast. So first off, to all my listeners, thank you for listening to the advertisements and going to these podcasts and listening to them. That's what it's there for. That can happen to whatever you want to do on this show. If you have an event, promotion, book, album, podcast, anything you want to promote, you can do it on this show and you can do it for free. So that will be the show this week. This was the, I guess, the racism show or whatever. But it was something that I needed to get off my chest. And listen, oh, my listeners wanted to hear about it. Because that, Sean had some great space and paranormal things to talk about that I didn't get to. I'll get to those on next week's show. But this is what my listeners wanted to talk about. So I'm going to talk about it. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be back with me next week. Have a great 4th of July. And just respect everybody. Respect one another. And love the country you are in. This is the greatest country that this planet has ever seen, no matter what you are being told. You that are listening in this country. Most of my listeners are in this country. Those of you that are not, I'm sorry. America, the United States of America, is the greatest country that this planet has ever seen. You are hearing otherwise, it's not true. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening this week. My name is Tom Velasquez. I have been your gracious host of this show, The Paranormal Patriot. I will be back next week. In the meantime, sit back, relax, and open that mind.